Thank you, my buddy. It's great to be here. Welcome. When I took my son to boarding school 5 years ago, I parked next to a guy, and I got out of my car, and I said, "Hi, my name's Rory." He said, "My name's Paul." I said, "I'm Rory Dyer." He said, "I'm Paul Kruger." Exactly how I reacted. I said, "You lie, bro. There's no freaking ways that your parents will call you Paul Kruger." He said, "Oh, foot sack, man. Where are you?" He's here this morning. "Where are you, Paul Kruger? Vasya. Stand up, my bud. This is my best mate from boarding school." So I said, "We'll become friends." And now he's visiting our church. Great to have you. You've been an incredible blessing to me. I love you. And in front of my church family, I want to say I really love you. And I've enjoyed the 5 years. He's clever. He's a chartered accountant. He's Afrikaans. He's introverted. Everything that I am. Not. The last time I grew a beard, somebody called me Tola van der Merwe. So, yeah, exactly. But Tola doesn't wear a jacket. Great to see you. Welcome. I saw Hendrik and Gerard walking in with their wives. Nice to have you here. I saw the Bahrainis walking in. It's nice to have you here. And just a very warm welcome to the church. This morning, we're doing a series on Romans. I preached about 2 weeks ago. I think people are still taking their breath. And probably a difficult sermon around silence and condemnation and the ways of God. And I tell you, when I walked out here, I thought, I think my time at 3CR is coming to an end. Now, I'm being serious. I felt like I'd given my load of what God called me to do, which is really to teach Afrikaans people grace so that we can use the resources of Pretoria to change the world. And I just felt like I have less time here than I've had here. And part of Romans 8 is repeating some of the sermons that I've already preached. But I have an understanding of the Bible that parallels with other people's understanding, and I want to share that with you again today and take you into a very secret place of my heart. This black box was left to me as an inheritance by my father, and nobody, not even my wife, has looked into this black box except me. And today I'm going to open this box and try and teach you a little bit more about God. And when you walk out of here, you think, "I know just a little bit more about God, my Father. I know a little bit more about what it means to be His son or His daughter." But I like to call us sons. So when the Bible says sons, it means girls too, because then the society never gave women an inheritance. But when you come to know God, you get the same inheritance as a firstborn son. Beautiful. I will show you just one little thing in this box. It's a Rolex box. It's the watch that my dad wore. One of his dreams his whole business life was to buy a Rolex. And in his will, it says, "All my watches get left to my son, including this one." But there's no watch inside here, because I felt that my sister, who's just a tiny little girl like this, because she's actually the firstborn child, that she needed to know what it meant to be Ian Dyer's firstborn child so that she could understand what it means to be God's firstborn son. And so one day I got in my car and I didn't give her the box. I kept the box, but I did give her the watch. And I said, "Every time you wear the watch, you must remember this, sis. You're Ian Dyer's firstborn child. And when you look at the watch, it doesn't matter that I'm the son. And I carry the name, and your name has changed. You're Ian Dyer's firstborn child." Beautiful. And I want every one of you to remember today that you're God the Father's firstborn child. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how you grew up. I don't care how you were born. I don't care if your parents were married or not married. If you believe in Jesus, you're God's firstborn child. And you can wear the precious things of your Father on your heart, on your hand, around your waist, on your wrist, around your neck, wherever you need to. And so we're going to read Romans 8 and verse 14 and verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. And as you notice, I haven't got my glasses because I'm getting old and I forget things. So we're going to read it off the screen. Take that bald patch off, thank you. All these things that you thought would never happen. More and more people call me oom. Ek sal jou voeter. Oom. Ek is nie jou oom nie. Anyways, I repent. I am your oom. Die disselboom van Potchefstroom. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, but if by the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Say sons of God. We are sons of God. Say sons of God. For you did not receive. You did not receive. Don't put my face. Just you did not receive. Every single human being has got a spirit. And when you're in the company of any person, you're open to receive that spirit. And the spirit in this nation at this time is a spirit of fear. We are scared about our future. We are scared about the effects of COVID. We are scared about our businesses. We are scared about the fuel price. We are scared about the ANC. We are scared about the $4 million in our president's house. We are scared about the Zondo report. And now Zoom is going to take the Zondo report onto a commission, and that's going to take another 7 years. And we are scared about the political future of our nation. But the Bible says we did not receive a spirit of fear. We did not receive it. So stop being scared, church. I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. And we've got to go around breathing confidence into this nation that is not declared by a bubbly personality, but by a theological conviction that we have got the Spirit of God living inside of us. The petrol price can go to 100 rand a liter and we'll still be all right. We are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave. Say slave. Slave, slave again to fear. But you received. Say received. Receive. You can't achieve it, friends. You can't work it. You can't merit it. You can't earn it. You have to receive. I received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. Say Abba Father. That cry, friends, if you have a child in this auditorium, one cry of a child will take the attention of 2,500 people towards the child. Yes or no? Yes. We can be worshiping. If one child cries, you will all look towards the child. Because a cry is designed to draw attention. So when you cry, you've got to know that God listens. And by him we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit, capital S, himself testifies with our spirit, small s, big God, speaks to little Rory that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, and some of you are going through terrible trials right now, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings, and some of you are in tough times, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen. Friends, most Christians live with the 20 or 30 years of their past and try and make sense of today. The Bible says we live with today and our position in Christ and lay hold of our future so that we can endure and deal with the things that we're going through now. There's a lady in this church. Her name is Sarah. Here she sits. She could be absolutely anywhere today, but she chose to be here. She was one of the original 10 people that started this church 30 years ago. She moved from Durban to come here. Her husband walked out on her when she had 2-3 young children. He sat them down and he said, I no longer love your mum. I'm walking out. Her daughter put a surfboard under her arm and said, I'm going surfing. She went into the surf and she had her leg bitten off by a shark. And her dad never came back to see her. She had to look after her daughter. She found the Lord. She brought her kids up in the way of the Lord. Her daughter had a prosthesis leg from here and nobody wanted to marry her because she limped. And eventually she found a man who would marry her and loved her and has loved her for 10 years. And on Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, he went on a motorbike ride and was killed. You know where she is today? She is sitting in the church suffering. But she knows that she knows that she knows that it doesn't compare to the glory one day that she will receive. Her daughter knows Christ. Her son-in-law knew Christ. Her other daughter knows Christ. And so when we sit here, friends, we're not saying come to Jesus and get rich. We're saying come to Jesus and try and make sense of your pain. Because if Jesus came to glory through the crucifixion, you've got to know you and I will never bypass it.
Come on.
You say, well, we just believe in Jesus, we don't have to suffer. I believe in Jesus, and my sin is dealt with, friends, but crucifixion is the key to glory. Whether you like it or not. And many people, once they have enough money to live on, they put their little white flag up and say, no more Jesus. I'm going to just live with my little white flag and my little white picket fence, and I don't want to be conformed to the image of Christ any longer. Life is tough. You know, some of you men, if you would take your marriage to the cross, if you would crucify your selfish nature, you would actually start to live in the glory of God.
So good, Rob.
Just crucify yourself. Crucify yourself. Every time Mel and I have got issues, I realize I need something to die inside of me. And suffering leads to glory. Always leads to glory. Amen? And so, friends, there are different ways of reading the Bible. And this is why, I don't know how many years I've got left here. One, two, maybe three, I don't know. But I want to teach you the way I read the Bible because God sent me here. And then when I've done my job, you'll kick me out of here. But there are different ways of reading the Bible. The number one way of reading the Bible is through the Reformed theology. You can put on the board. Creation. God created a garden. There was a fall. Men sinned. God came and redeemed that. And everything we do is to see restoration. Restoration of marriage. Restoration of sonship. Restoration of sexuality. And so when we preach the gospel, we realize that we are sinners. God had an original intent of man. That we would be naked and unashamed. That means I could live exactly as I don't have to put clothes on to cover myself. We'd be naked and unashamed. But now because we've sinned, we cover ourselves up with all sorts of things. Egos and big houses and fancy cars. And we sort of hide behind all these things to try and impress people that don't not actually impressed with us. But God starts to, he redeems that, and then he starts to restore, and he restores things like humility and generosity, as Christian was speaking about today, and kindness, and we actually start to form these little communities around the world, 3CR is just a little part of it, and we think of Doxa Deo, and then we think of Enchia Moraleta, and he starts to form these communities where generosity flows, and people get adopted, and people get educated, and we start to see a little bit of heaven come to earth. The second way of reading the Bible is through the eyes of kingdom. Now, I know some of you know these things. I've preached it before. But through the eyes of kingdom. So we have guys like John Wimber. You won't know that for some of you youngsters. But John Wimber was a guy who started the Vineyard Churches. And he started to write books like Power Healing and Power Evangelism. He said that the demonic has come and Jesus is the king and there's another kingdom and it belongs to Satan. And Jesus came and through the whole of the Old Testament, God puts judges in place and he puts kings in place. And he raises up this mighty king called David, who's a type of Christ. And eventually the king comes in riding on a donkey and the kingdom of God starts to push back the darkness. And we see things like deliverance and healing and all those sorts. And it's, so Bethel Church believes in the kingdom theology. So they stand up and say, we believe in healing. Is anybody sick? Anybody battling? They come and they pray for them and they're starting to see healings. And the kingdom of God gets pulled from heaven down to earth. We call it the ready and the not yet. The kingdom has already come and it's not fully come. It's one of the ways of reading the Bible. That's why we pray for the sick. We believe in it. We believe in the gifts. Amen? Another way of looking at the Bible is through the lens of Abraham. God blessed Abraham. It says in Genesis 12. So in Genesis 11, they build the Tower of Babel. Man tries to go up to get to God. And you realize you can never, ever get high enough to God. You can build whatever you like. You can't take one step up towards God. And every religion tries to be good to get to God. And God says, no, the only way it's going to work is if I come down. And that's all the Abrahamic theology. God comes down and he says to Abraham, I will bless you, Abraham, and you will be a blessing. Beautiful. So God blesses 3CI. Finances start to plant and we plant a church into Stellenbosch. and we finance it, and it gets up and it gets running. Then we plant a church into Lisbon, and it gets up and it gets running. And then the Stellenbosch Church gets on their feet, and they've got resources and people, and they start to sow back into our building project. And then we bless them, and then they bless us. And now they're about to build a building because a man in this church, who's a property developer, bought a piece of property in Stellenbosch, and on that piece of property, there's a hall. And he always said, I want this hall to go to the church that 3CR plants in Stellenbosch. And so now he's allocated, they're going to do this big property development, and a man in this church who's a property developer, you don't have to be a preacher. You can be a property developer. Or you can be a cafe owner. Or you can be a chartered accountant, introvert. Get named after the famous game reserve. Let's be honest, eh? I'd like to meet your dad, Paul Kruger the Eighth. Isn't that how it works in Afrikaanderdom? Johannes Jacobus, yeah. I'm only got a beard to try and fit in, man. That's it. And as we get blessed, whatever we do, the blessing starts to flow. Yeah, he does. This guy's name is Diepia. Hello, Diepia. Diepia makes rugby balls. One of the things he does, he's got a company called Vusmoy. Umoy? Vusmoy, my mate. Vusmoy. So I asked him to make rugby balls for my son's rugby team, and then they had a fundraiser last week. And I thought, if I get those rugby balls and I donate them, we're going to make lots of money. So I said, hey, Diepia, do you mind getting them ready? But I gave him a short amount of time. He said, I'll get them by Wednesday afternoon. And then Thursday was a public holiday and the trucks blocked the highway. And I had to get them by 9 o'clock on Friday. I had to get them down to a boarding school in Natal. And he did his job by supplying the balls, and I couldn't get them because those balls are used to educate people, and there's an educational fund. I thought, those are great balls, and I couldn't get them down, and all the companies that couldn't get through because of the truck blockade. So one of my friends, I phoned him. I said, can you organize the balls? He phoned me on Thursday night. He said, I'm sorry, Rory, I can't get them down. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he got in his car, and he drove the balls down. He dropped them off, 600 kilometers, turned around, he drove back. They auctioned the balls for 40,000 rand. So three children are going to get educated because Diepia, who's in our church, made the balls that were driven down by a member of our church who sent them down. And at 8 o'clock on Friday morning, somebody in this church SMS'd me and said, I had a feeling that I need to bless this one guy in the church. Please can you get me his bank details? So I gave him his bank details, and the next day he got 27,000 rand put into his account. You know who it was? It was the guy who drove the balls down. So what do you say? Well, I'm just a son of God. And what does that mean? Well, when I get blessed and I just become a blessing, then the blessing just keeps going and just keeps going. And so who's the hero, Diepia or the guy who drove or the person who put the money in the account? I don't know, but I know this, that people's lives are going to get changed because of the blessing. Amen? There's another way of reading the Bible through the garden and the grave. It starts in a garden, Genesis 1 and 2, and it ends in a grave. It says they buried him in a coffin. And so you have life and death. The whole way through the Bible, you have life and death. When we live according to God's ways, we live in the garden. When we don't, we see death. And Jesus comes and he pulls people out of the graves. But I want to preach today about reading the Bible as a son. Luke chapter 3 says, Adam was the son of God. Say, son of God. So in Genesis chapter 1, you've got God trying to be a father, but Adam messes it up. And so God gives him a second chance in Exodus chapter 4, and he says, Israel is my firstborn son. He says, Adam messed it up, let's have another go. Israel messed it up, so he has another go in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and he says, Solomon is my son. Solomon messes it up and takes too many wives and a couple of horses. Women are dangerous. I wouldn't know why you would want more than one. It's ridiculous. Yes, she's a handful. I tell you, unbelievable. Unbelievable. 30 years of marriage, if I did it again, I'd just take one again. Why do they take more, love? I don't know, my darling. I don't know, my darling.
The same one.
When they're not pregnant, their feet are cold. When they're pregnant, their feet are hot. As we get older, we get colder. They get hotter. I don't know how the thing works. Men on pause. I don't know. It's all complicated. This men on pause thing is a bit. Yeah, I tell you. Yo, you're hot. I'm sweaty. Malachi chapter 4 says this. It says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. Starts with the son, ends with the son. Old Testament. New Testament starts like this. 400 years of silence. Matthew chapter 3. A voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Starts with the son. John chapter 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. The destination of Christianity is not heaven. The destination of Christianity is the Father. Philip says this in chapter verse 8. He says, show us the Father, and that will be enough. Enough for what? Enough to deal with a daughter who's lost her husband, who also lost her leg to a shark attack because she lost her dad. Yes, enough. Yes, it'll be enough. It'll be enough. Will it be enough for the young lady, Jackie, who shared about her sexuality 2 weeks ago? Will it be enough if she sees the Father in the loneliness right now that she's walking through of a single girl? Is it enough? Yes, it's enough. It's enough. Show us the Father and that'll be enough. Will it be enough to deal with an ever-increasing fuel price? Yes, it will. Will it be enough to deal with a government that yes, it's enough. Will it be enough to deal with the insecurity of your upbringing? Yes, it's enough. And then John chapter 20 says, I'm going back to my God and your God, my Father, your Father. He ends it. He ends that little bracket. And in Revelation 21, it says, to him who overcomes, I'll call you sons of God. Starts with the Son, ends with the Son. The Old Testament is bracketed by the Son. The New Testament is bracketed. Jesus' life is bracketed. And you and I live in Romans chapter 8, understanding. We're trying, the Bible says the earth is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Number one, we live with absolute security. Six things. We live with security. We live with authority. We live with intimacy. We live with assurance. We live with inheritance. And we can handle suffering. Those are the six things that will change our nation at this time. We live with absolute security. My number one, friends, my number one concern in the church is that people who have served God for a long time are still insecure. They fear rejection. They fear failure. They fear the future. I am a son of God. And one of the great theologies of the Bible, number one privilege of sonship, I don't fear. You say, but it's natural, but I'm not natural. I'm supernatural. Amen. The Spirit of God has empowered me. The Spirit of God has taken hold of me. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. I will not receive fear. I've got lots of things to be scared about. An ever-increasing price on everything. But I'm a son of God. And he said, if you just come before me every day and ask me for daily bread, every day, ask me for daily bread. You know, friends, when we built this building, I asked God every day, sometimes 2 to 3 hours a day. I put in thousands of hours of prayer for this building, and God provided. And then I stopped asking God, and the money didn't come in. And I said, Lord God, where's the money? He said, you didn't ask. When you were asking, it came. When you stopped asking, I stopped giving. So didn't think you wanted it. Our Father, who art in heaven, amen, hallowed be your name. Give me today my daily bread. Not my lotto ticket. Just my daily bread. Just enough to get through the day. You see, friends, we have to understand that God wants us to live a 24-hour faith. We love to have a 6-year plan. But God wants us to live a 24-hour faith where we rely on Him every day. It's one of the gifts of sonship. The privilege I have of presenting a meal to my children every single day. Amen? The second area is authority. I don't know if any of you have traveled on the N3 highway recently. It is hectic. 600 trucks an hour. Every hour, from when you get on the highway in Pretoria to when you arrive in Durban, 600 trucks an hour. So if you get in your car and drive to Durban, you'll pass about 4,000 trucks. And they just come, foo, 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 foo. And then there's two trucks, and sometimes there are three trucks. And you're looking at this, and there's one next to you, and there's one behind you, and there are a few coming this way. I worked it out. From going to my business, I've passed over 500,000 trucks. And they just come, boom, boom, and then you see, truck accident, 8 dead. Truck accident, 16 dead. Truck accident, so many dead. And then the other day I was standing near between Warden and Frieda, and I saw a little lady, small little lady, with a little badge on her thing and a hat on her head, and she stepped out this machine. Exhaust brake. I thought, flip. Little badge, a little hat, a little lady. This tune. When will you understand the authority you have? So those trucks stop running over you. So those demons from your past stop running over you. Stop smacking you and frightening you and intimidating you, because sometimes you're in the thing and the lights are flashing and you think it just says, whoa, stop! I've received the spirit of sonship. I've got a badge of authority on me. I've got a hat. I've got power inside of me that stops the rubbish. Come on. Amen? Amen? Say amen. Amen. Say I've received. Say I've received. The spirit of sonship. The spirit of adoption. My name changes. I have authority, friends. I'm horrified. Every time I drive into my dad's business, I go into every petrol station in the country. And when I drive in there, I walk across. Hello. What do you want? Petrol, tires, windscreen. When I drive into my dad's business, I've got like Seven Oaks. Hello, Mr. Dyer. Can I clear your ashtray? See, you've got to add value, guys. You've got to add value. Every petrol station, they pump your tires. Can we clear your ashtray? Can I take your rubbish, sir? Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you know why? Because I'm Ian Dyer's son. All these are jumping around me. I think, flip, I'm God's son. I'm God's son. And wherever the Bible says I put my foot, he will give to me. It doesn't matter where I go. I've got authority. A young man from America, that one man who came here 2 weeks ago, he said, I'm going into big meetings. What must I do? I said, when you walk into the meeting, you must say, hello, Father. He said, why? I said, because he's waiting for you. He says, if I go up to the heavens, you there. If I make my bed in the depths, if I go to the far side of the sea, you with me. When I get in an airplane and I land in London, I just say, good morning, Father. He's waiting for me. I'm not saying, come, Jesus, come, Jesus, come, Jesus. I didn't call him. He called me. He's already there. It doesn't matter what meeting I go into. I walk in as a son and I say, good morning, Father. Wow. I don't care if I meet with the president or with the chairman of an oil company. I walk in and say, good morning. I'm going to sit down as a son. Not arrogant. I'm going to operate with authority. Amen? Yeah. Stop being insecure. Don't live with fear. Start to live in the fullness of what God has for you. Number three, intimacy. This year is 36 checks that my father never, ever cashed while he was putting me through school, because his business never had the money to honor these checks. So while I was watching my dad struggle and try and provide for his family and not understand some of the tension he was under, another check and another check and another check and another check And another check. And another check. Let your dad off the hook. Let your dad off the hook. We don't know what they went through. We don't know what pressure they were under. Sometimes my dad did things that I never liked. And another check bounced. And another check bounced. And another check bounced. But you know the greatest time of my life was when I got dropped. Many of you know the story of Go Boyki. I got dropped from an A team. My dad was up here watching a test match. And when I ran on the field, he gave up his test match tickets and he drove down to see me playing for the B team. This week I found the letter that I wrote to him. Say, we call him Abba Father. Say, Abba Father. We have got intimacy with God. We have got access into the very depths of God. We have got access into God's heart. And his checks don't bounce. The Bible says he has unsearchable riches. He cashes every check because there's enough resource to pay. So can you imagine running onto a B team for the first time in my life and the two words I heard were Go Boyki? I said, dear dad, just a short note to say thank you very much for coming down to my match on Saturday and for the letter that you gave me. I can't really tell you what you said and what your visit meant, but I just want to say thank you, dad. It meant so much to me. I'm feeling very blue and bitter at the moment for being dropped. And I can't say how much I appreciated knowing you were on the side of the field shouting for me when I was playing for the B team. Goes on and says a few things. Your ever-loving son, Rory. I wrote that in 1984. My dad kept it in his black box. Okay, imagine what God keeps in his heart when you write letters and stories, not to some distant presence, but to a God with a name, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And inside your insurance policies and all my dad's watches. Imagine this, if my dad gave me all his time. Imagine what God the Father will do. An assurance, Spirit testifies with my spirit that I am the Son of God. An inheritance, friends, if I can just put up a letter. My dad got very sick and he lost his mind, and I went into hospital one day and he was as clear as a whistle, and my son was 11 years old. And he said to me, how's Thomas? I said, Thomas is good, Dad. He said, how's his rugby boy? I said, he's a good rugby player, Dad. And when I went back that night, my dad had lost his mind. But when he died, this is the letter that was at the top of his will. It is my, Ian William Mitchell Dyer's wish that money must be made available for my grandson, spelt wrong, Thomas J. Dyer is not his name. He's got no J. For his shul attending, spelt wrong. This is a sick dad, eh? This is a father that is on his deathbed.
signed 14th of January 2015. Signed by Wintus, not a witness, is a very sick man. Can I show you a picture from last Saturday? That is an heir. That is an heir. That is a man whose sick grandfather provided for him to have an opportunity, and 7 years later he walked into it. This is the will of God. This is the will of a father. Keep that picture up there if you don't mind. You know why we don't like this will? Because it's not ours. We like our own will. I look at that boy's face. And I think, I wonder how many people will walk into the fullness of the inheritance that they've been given. Romans 8 is the inheritance of God. To those God foreknew, he also predestined. To those he predestined, he called. To those he called, he justified. To those he justified, he glorified. I'm part of an unbreakable chain. That is an inheritance. I've got to walk into it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor the past, nor the present. Nothing can separate. That's an inheritance. You've got to grab hold of it and you've got to stand and say, I am an heir of God the Father. I am an heir of God the Father. A sick father who doesn't know how to spell can leave an inheritance for his children's children. Say how much more? Say how much more? Say it again. How much more? Close your eyes and say how much more? How much more? My Father in heaven. And finally, if you're suffering, I want to tell you, I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've seen far more of Jesus in suffering than I've seen Jesus in wealth. Far more. Far more. And the privileges that you and I have as sons of God, we can live with security. We can live with authority. We can live with intimacy. We can live with assurance. We have got an inheritance. And we don't have to throw our toys out the cot when we suffer. God is with us. God bless you.